Please tell me that the Bible reading is not Luke 7, because that's not what I prepared. Excellent. From what my understanding is, what I'm going to read to you tonight is Joshua 2, all of Joshua 2, because that's where we find Rahab, not in Luke. Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two men as spies from the acacia grove, saying, "Go and scout the land, especially Jericho." So they left, and they came to the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, "Look, some of the Israelite men have come here tonight to investigate the land." Then the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab and said, "Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, for they came to investigate the entire land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. So she said, "Yes, the men did come to me, but I didn't know where they were from. At nightfall, when the city gate was about to close, the men went out, and I don't know where they were going. Chase after them quickly, and you can catch up with them." But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them among the stalks of flax that she had arranged on the roof. The men pursued them along the road to the fords of the Jordan, and as soon as they left to pursue them, the city gate was shut. Before the men fell asleep, she went up on the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given you this land and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and everyone who lives in the land is panicking because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings you completely destroyed across the Jordan. When we heard this, we lost heart and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Now please swear to me by the Lord that you will also show kindness to my father's family, because I showed kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father, mother, brothers, sisters, and all who belong to them, and save us from death." The men answered her, "We will give our lives for yours. If you don't report our mission, we will show kindness and faithfulness to you when the Lord gives us the land." Then she let them down by a rope through the window, since she lived in a house that was built into the wall of the city. "Go to the hill country so that the men pursuing you won't find you," she said to them. "Hide there for 3 days until they return. Afterward, go on your way." The men said to her, "We will be free from this oath you made us swear, unless, when we enter the land, you tie this scarlet cord to the window through which you let us down. Bring your father, mother, brothers, and all your father's family into your house. If anyone goes out the doors of your house, his death will be his own fault, and we will be innocent. But if anyone with you in the house should be harmed, his death will be our fault. And if you report our mission, we are free from the oath you made us swear." "Let it be as you say," she replied, and she sent them away. After they had gone, she tied the scarlet cord to the window. So the two men went into the hill country and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers had returned. They searched all along the way, but did not find them. Then the men returned, came down from the hill country, and crossed the Jordan. They went to Joshua, son of Nun, and reported everything that had happened to them. They told Joshua, "The Lord has handed over the entire land to us. Everyone who lives in the land is also panicking because of us."
Awesome. Thank you, Shanu. Keep that open. We're going to be looking at Rahab, Joshua 2, as well as some other parts in the Bible about that. You know, as we start looking at these great women of the Old Testament, when you heard that we were going to look at some heroines, some women that are faithful in what they do, I wonder how many people thought Rahab must be one of them. A woman of the night whose single act of faithfulness was to lie. All right? That does not make you faithful. So, Matt, stop writing down lie. That is not our takeaway. But today we're going to see God and His holiness. We're going to see God's righteousness, and I've whipped up some great photos that we're going to look at. So if you have any questions afterwards about Rahab or her occupation, Oliver, you can ask Harry about that. We are going to see how God pulls sinners out of a sinful, godless world and makes them part of his chosen people. But as we do that, let's pray and ask God to be with us, to help us as we look at his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you that we can come together once more. Thank you that we can look at your word and see your saving work through it. Help us to grow in knowledge and faith that leads to repentance so that we can trust in you. Amen. Back when I was in primary school, we were having an assembly. I don't remember if this happened every time or every so often, or it might have been an end of year thing, but every class, a kid from every class in every year was being called up to get an award. And being year six men, we were being very good and sitting in there quietly as they were being called up. You know, Harry and Lauren, Ben, Sophie, and then Adam got called. Adam, for a great artwork, for understanding the project, for completing all the requirements in an outstanding way. Adam was sitting next to me and he got up with his smirk on his face and he marched proudly up to the principal and shook his hands. And he stood there like all primary school kids do. But his smile was the bigger than the rest. And I couldn't work out why. And when he came and he sat back down, he looked me straight in the eye and he said, "I never did a painting. Wasn't even at school that day." Adam was called up out from all the students. He was given a place of honor and glory for something that he didn't do, something that he didn't deserve. It was on no merit of his work. There was nothing that he could boast about. This is the same sort of thing in the story of Rahab that we're looking at tonight. It shows us how God pulls a Canaanite harlot out of her sinfulness and puts her in a place of honor and glory. And that's how God works with us. He takes us out of a sinful Gentile world and makes us part of his chosen people. Now, we first meet Rahab in Joshua 2 that was just read out for us. In Israel, they're preparing to enter the promised land. So I want you to turn to Joshua 2 now, and we're going to look at the original pretty woman. Joshua, he sends spies into Jericho to check the land out, specifically check Jericho out, just as Moses had done 40 years earlier. We're told in verse 1 that the spies, when they get there, they head straight for Rahab's place. We're not told why. Some people think that it's because of what Rahab did for a job. It's not strange for her to have men that people hadn't seen before coming and going from her house at all hours of the day and night. Although from verse 3, it doesn't seem to be like that. People noticed these men coming in and out. The king knew the spies had gone to Rahab's place. When confronted about it, Rahab said, "Yeah, they've been here. They were here." Then they left. And the soldiers believed them. They believed her lie and they took off after them. Rahab went to the Israelite spies and made a deal with them. "I won't hand you over if when you attack, you spare my life and the lives of those in my family." The Israelite spies agreed and told Rahab to hang a scarlet cord out of her window. Luckily, she had one hanging around. I don't know why they couldn't pick a normal color, like blue, but they went with scarlet. And from Marvel, that's kind of a red. Thank you. A few chapters later, in chapter 6, Israel walks around Jericho a couple of times. Their walls fall down. Israel attack. And we read in chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, that Rahab and her family escape and they go to the Israelite camp and they're saved from destruction. And more than just being saved from destruction, Rahab is brought into the people of God. And you can see this, the fact that Rahab marries an Israelite and becomes King David's great-great-grandmother. You read that in Matthew 1, verse 5. And then she pops up again as the writer of Hebrews hangs Rahab in the faithful hall of fame. And James, in his letter, uses Rahab as an example of faith seen in action. So how does this happen? How does someone moved from living in sin and outside of God's people to being in the family tree of Jesus. There are six things I want us to see out of Rahab's story. The first, Rahab acknowledges God. So we're going to start back at Joshua chapter 2 and verse 9. Here are some facts that Rahab knows about God. She knew that God had already given the land over to them, and people were afraid of that. She knew that it was God that parted the Red Sea and defeated the Egyptians. And verse 11, have a read of verse 11. When we heard this, we lost heart and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. She knows who God is. Rahab acknowledges God. Paul, at the start of his letter to the Romans, says that there's no reason for people not to acknowledge God. He says it in Romans 1:20. Let me find it. I'll read it to you. Romans 1 verse 20 says this: For his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what he has made. As a result, people are without excuse. Just have a look around. Look at the things that you see. Listen. Touch something, touch anything. Creation points to a creator. We're so happy as we go around to ask, who made this? Who made that? Who made these chairs? Who made these Christmas tree thingies? Who made these beds? Most of the time when you ask, the answer at the church is Fred. But sometimes other people make things. I can't see any, but I'm sure they're out there. Why, as we look out into creation, do we not know or not ask who made this? Acknowledge God. Why are we so unwilling to acknowledge God who created the whole world? Like Rahab, we need to acknowledge God for the things that he's quite obviously done. God is the one who sustains all things. Without God, there is no life. These are the baseline facts that we need to know about God. We need knowledge of God as the one who saves people. And this is the second thing we see from Rahab. God saves people with a past. Rahab, she had a less than desirable job. You know, in high school, you go to the counselor person to talk about your career and what you're going to do. I don't think this is one of the options that she'll give you or he'll give you. This, to God over and over again says, don't do this. It is sinful. Rahab, she had a past. If someone comes up and gives their testimony and it starts, they go, you know, my story starts the same way Rahab's does, that would throw us. We would be taken back by that, a little shocked. But in Joshua chapter 6, verse 22, or 23, we read this. So the young men who had scouted went in and brought out Rahab and her father, mother, brothers, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her whole family and settled them outside the camp of Israel. And then in verse 24, they burnt the city and everything in it. Rahab was saved, not because of anything she did. In fact, it was in spite of the two things that we know about Rahab. She was a liar, and, you know, she did things for a job. God he didn't have to save her. He owed Rahab nothing. Rahab being brought out of the city was an act of God's love and mercy and holiness. Rahab was not saved because of who she is or what she'd done. Rahab was saved because of who God is. And that's exactly how God deals with us. Now, I understand we may not have a past like Rahab's. We may not even be seen in the same league as Rahab. But in the sight of God, it's very close to the same thing. We turn away from God. We want to live our own way. We want to live without God. We want to be the ruler of our lives. In Ephesians 2, Paul tells us that we're saved by grace through faith and not by works. God came to earth in the person Jesus. We celebrated that yesterday. He came to save people from destruction. We're not saved because of anything we do. In fact, we're saved in spite of the things that we've done. We are saved from destruction through the death of Jesus, through faith in his death, and that it's paid for our sins. And this is the third thing that we see in Rahab. Rahab put her faith in the knowledge of God. Hebrews 11, turn to Hebrews 11. How does Moses have his tea? I stole that one from Jacob. Hebrews 11. This is what the writer says about faith. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. It's the reality of what is hoped for, the proof is of what is not seen. That's what faith is. And then he goes on and shows all these faithful people and how they showed what their hope was and pointed to. He says in verse 4, by faith Abel. Verse 5, by faith Enoch. Verse 7, by faith Noah. Verse 8, by faith Abraham. 11, by faith even Sarah. Verse 20, by faith Isaac. 23, by faith Moses. And then down in 31, by faith Rahab the prostitute welcomed the spies in. She welcomed the spies in. The whole of Jericho knew what had happened at the parting of the Red Sea, how Israel got out of Egypt. The whole of Jericho knew what happened to the two Amorite kings. The whole of Jericho knew that Israel were camped just outside the city gates. The whole of Jericho knew what was about to happen, and that whatever they did would accomplish nothing. But it was only Rahab that believed that God would save her, even though she didn't deserve it. Rahab had faith in who God is and what he promised. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, we read this, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcised nor uncircumcised accomplish anything. What matters is faith working through love." We know that we deserve destruction because of what we've done, because of the past we have. We know that whatever we try in order to pay back or make up for what we've done accomplishes nothing. We need to put our faith in God just as Rahab did. And God will be gracious towards us, not because of what we've done or who we are, but because of who he is. He will pull us out of a sinful Gentile world and make us new, make us part of his people. God will redefine who we are. And this is the fourth thing that we see in Rahab. God redefines people with a past. The book of Joshua, it defines Rahab by her occupation. When we speak about her, quite often we speak about her and define her in the same way. But that's not how God defines her. Because of her faith, God has redefined her. She's brought into be a part of the people of God. So much so that Matthew in his gospel says that Rahab married a man called Salmon. Tuna was taken. And together they had a son. They named him Boaz. They had Obadiah fathered Jesse, and Jesse fathered King David. Rahab was brought into the people of God, so much so that she's in the family lineage of Jesus. Jesus who died on the cross to save her for what she's done, to save us for what we've done. And it's through Jesus' death that we are also redefined. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come." We have been redefined to be like Jesus. On the cross, Jesus takes away our sin. He takes away the one defining feature of our fallen humanity. On the cross, he redefines us, and now we are seen as one of God's people, chosen by God, because God sees us through Jesus. And that is because we are united with Jesus. Romans chapter 6, verse 5. Romans 6, verse 5 says this, For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. We are redefined into the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's who we are, and that is what shapes everything that we do. It is that faith in the cross and the unity with Jesus that leads to our action, which is the fifth thing we see in Rahab. Rahab acts on the faith that she has in God. James writes a letter to the 12 tribes, and a famous line that he says, one that's misunderstood quite a lot, James chapter 2, verse 18, says, "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you faith by my works.'" James says that if you trust in God's word, if you trust in the death of Jesus as the only way to be saved, then how you act will reflect that belief, that faith that you have. And James, he gives examples of people who have faith in action, faith that can be seen through what they do and how they act. And so James, in chapter 2, verse 25, says, "In the same way, wasn't Rahab the prostitute also justified by works in receiving the messengers and sending them out in a different route?" Rahab acted based on her faith, the faith she had in the God in heaven above and on earth below. She trusted that God would take Jericho that he'd already promised to Israel. She knew that she was living outside of God's people, and the only way to move from certain death into life was through God. She put her complete trust, all her faith in God, as she answered the knock on the door and faced those soldiers. Knowing that the spies had to get back to camp, Rahab acted by faith. As people who live on this side of the cross, as God's people redefined through Jesus' death on the cross, we are to act out our faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says this, "We walk by faith and not by sight." We walk by faith and not by sight. We know that we will live forever in heaven. We know that God works all things for the good of his people. You read that in Romans 8:28. He does that even if we don't see it, even if we can't recognize or understand that he's doing that. So everything we do, no matter how small or big, we do as an outworking of our faith. We do knowing that God also works all things for his glory, even when we sin, as we try to act out our faith. And this is the final thing that we see from Rahab. God uses people with a past. In Joshua, the spies manage to get out of the city safely, and they report back to Joshua. Now, this isn't exact, I'll paraphrase this, but they said to Joshua, "We've got it." And so they attack. The spies, they're able to avoid capture and return to camp because what Rahab did. And this doesn't make what she did the right thing. Rahab lied. This is again an opportunity to see the greatness of God, his glory and righteousness. Just because God uses a sinful act of someone to bring his glory about does not make it the right thing to do. Paul in Romans 3 speaks on this. Romans 3 verse 7 and 8, Paul says, "But if by my lie God's truth abounds to his glory, why am I also being judged as a sinner? And why not say, just as some people slanderously claim we say, let us do what is evil so that good may come. Their condemnation is deserved." The problem is that we see things through our fallen, sinful state. That's our perspective. It's easy to say that Rahab needed to lie, otherwise Jesus would have never died on the cross. But that's not true. Rahab could have led the soldiers to where the spies were hiding, handed them over to the spies. And do you know what would have happened? Israel would have marched around the city, the walls would have fallen, and God would have handed the promised land over to Israel. But God acts graciously and holy and uses people with a past, people like Rahab. And God uses us all the time, even when we slip up and make the wrong decision, even when we do something sinful. God uses us to do his work because, like Rahab, he's chosen us to be part of his people. God pulls us sinners out of a godless Gentile world. And through the death of Jesus, he makes us part of his chosen people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Rahab and her example of faith. We thank you that you use people, you redefine people, you pull people and make them part of your family. Help us to acknowledge you every day, to trust in you and act and walk faithfully. Amen.